Hello everyone, I'm Charlie. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic.
Hi, Charlie.
Thank you everyone who's been a service to put this together, and thanks for staying cool, calm and collected through some Zoom issues this morning. Yeah, it's nice to be here, and like, wow, 83 participants, that's amazing. Welcome to anyone who's new. Yeah, I really think this is the coolest gang in town, so I hope you're already starting to feel welcome. So yeah, just really quickly, I am a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. I'm also an alcoholic. I was nearly a year sober when it became really clear that I needed to come to OA. I've been sober in AA for just over 6 years and abstinent in OA for just over 5 years. I have a sponsor, I've got lots of sponsees, I have a home group, I do service, and all of those things help me stay sober and well. And so, yeah, it's a brilliant topic, like, why do I need a sponsor? And I guess for me, what I've learned is that I need to get sober someone else's way, but I can't, my way's not working, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't need to be here. So I need to have the experience, strength and hope of somebody who has got the same disease as me and has got access to a solution. I need them to guide me through that process. I've learned that it really is a program of action. My sponsor, particularly when we were going through the steps, but even still now, sometimes, to be honest, she is not really that interested in what I think or how I feel about things. She's really interested in the actions that I'm taking on a daily basis. She wants to know what I'm doing to support my recovery today. Because often I don't feel like doing the things that are going to get me well. I don't feel like picking up the phone to newcomers. I don't feel like coming to a meeting. When I wake up in the morning, I don't want to pray and meditate. I don't want to be honest about my food. You know, I certainly don't want to do steps 4, 6, 7, 9. Like, why would I do that of my own willpower unless the alternative was active addiction and dying? So, yeah, I've had to take action that I have thought was going to be pointless. It's not going to work. It's inconvenient to me. it's boring. I've had to do things that I don't want to do a lot. And that's a really good thing. You know, if it feels counterintuitive, then that's probably a great thing. It's moving me away from a relapse. So yeah, the first thing, really the biggest gift from working with a sponsor, is that it's taught me to be honest and accountable, particularly with my food, the way that I was sponsored and the way that I sponsor. It's all about the big book, all of the AA big book, all about the steps. It's all about having a spiritual awakening. But whilst we're going through that, I have to practice being honest and accountable with my food. And so I text my food in the morning and text before I make any changes to that plan, which was really hard at the beginning, obviously. Like, I didn't want to be honest. I didn't want to be accountable. And however your disease manifests, and therefore however your abstinence looks, and however that works with your sponsor, it's something that you work out between the two of you. But I imagine that honesty and accountability is a big feature of everybody's recovery, because this is a disease of isolation, really. It's a disease that loves secrets. It loves me being on my own, keeping secrets, full of shame, not able to tell anyone. And then me trying to work it out, like me trying to think my way out of this disease. And so being honest and being accountable with somebody else, I really have to check my thinking. It was described to me as a triangle, me, God, and someone else. And if it's just me and God, after a while, it becomes just me. And if it's just me and someone else, after a while, they're going to let me down because they're a flawed human being. It's got to be me, God, and someone else. And that triangle helps me stay well. So, yeah, I have to check my thinking in with someone else. And whilst I'm going through the steps, I need someone to guide me through it. I need someone to read me through the big book. And I need to, you know, follow the suggestions that are in there. My sponsor has been most useful to me when she has just shared her experience, strength and hope, not her feelings, her opinions or her advice. I really try not to give life advice to sponsees. I try and refer to pages in the big book where it might have a suggestion that's appropriate. And I try and reconnect them with the higher power. Like, you really don't want life advice from me. I'm an alcoholic and a bulimic. Do you know what I mean? Yes, I'm sober today by the grace of God. And yes, I've got access to a solution. But do you really want life advice from me? I don't think so, you know. So I try not to give it. And I've learned that over the years. When I first started sponsoring, I thought it was my job to save people. And actually, I've learned, you know, it really is not. I can't get anyone drunk and I can't get anyone sober. And you know, I refer to working with others, this bit where it talks about, on page 95, it says, never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you would do anything to help. Yeah, and that's how people have been most useful to me, is they've just shared their experience, strength and hope. So I've gone to them with a problem and they've said, oh, I've got experience that's similar to that. Here's the strength and the hope that I can offer. Like, here's the spiritual tools that I used on that situation. Maybe they'll work with you. They have never said, you should do this, this, and this. Like, you must do this, this, and this. They've just said, this is what's working for me. Which is amazing, because I don't like being told what to do by anybody. And so giving that little bit of space where someone just says, this is what I've done and it's working for me, that's much more attractive. It's much more approachable for me as a stubborn addict. I'm then able to go, oh, you know, maybe I could try that as well. And I get to have my own journey with it. Yeah, the relationship with my sponsor, like, it's become much more friendly over the years. But to be honest, you know, she's not my friend. She's not. It's quite a formal relationship, really. She never told me what she did for a job for years. I didn't know. She didn't really tell me about her life unless it was to share some experience, strength and hope. You know, we didn't hang out together as friends. I saw her every week in the same meeting. That was really helpful. We shared the same home group. And then I watched her doing service. I watched her practicing what she was preaching, basically. And that helped me grow in confidence. And to trust OA a bit more, because I saw that her walk really did match her talk, and it was attractive to me. I wanted to live like that in recovery as well, because, you know, all the way through the big bit, there's promises all the way through it. Before every step, there's a promise and a warning. There's a warning of what happens if we don't do the step, and there's a promise of what will happen if we do it. You know, and the step 9 promises are often read in meetings, but there's promises all the way through the book. And the word promise for me was like quite a dodgy word when I first came in. Like, I didn't believe in promises. You know, unfortunately, I grew up in a household where promises were broken a lot. You know, people with best intentions wanted to offer things, but then couldn't follow through with it. So the lack of trust that I had in other human beings, definitely in myself, you know, I broke all of my own promises. I promise I'm not going to do it again. Like, this, it's going to be different today. It's Monday. It's going to be different. I've got a new diet. I've got a new exercise regime. It's going to be different this time. I promise I won't do that again. And I, of course, would break my promises because I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. So coming into recovery and hearing people talking about promises, it was really hard for me to accept that. I didn't trust other people. And what's helped me is seeing consistent, reliable action. You know, and watching my sponsor every week in the meeting and hearing her share honestly and watching her being useful to other people. It's an amazing thing, really. It's counterintuitive getting a sponsor. Asking for help is counterintuitive for me. Being honest and accountable to someone else is not what I want to do, but I have to do it. I have to test my thinking, otherwise I'm not growing and I'm not learning. A big feature of this disease for me is my pride. I think I know what I need and I don't need your help, thank you very much. I'll sort it all out by myself. And actually, I really need to be teachable. I really need to have that humility to ask for help and to check my thinking. You know, even still years in, I have to check my thinking with someone else. Otherwise, I get very wonky ideas very quickly. And I'm not practicing step 3. I'm not connected to God. So yeah, I'm really grateful for the line of sponsorship that come through, and I'm grateful for the lessons that I learned being a sponsor. It's an amazing thing. And yeah, Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Okay, so my name's Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi guys. Charlie, that was an absolutely fantastic share, and I think that's a tough act to follow. So look, I may kind of echo some of the points that you made, but I'm just going to try and be honest about kind of my experience and my thoughts on sponsorship, really. So I think, you know, when I came to OA, and I like the way you started, Charlie. So I'm a drug addict, and it was about a year clean from drugs that I saw things were getting pretty out of hand with the food, which brought me to OA. And I've been a part of this fellowship for probably about 2.5 years now. So when I arrived in OA, because I had experienced another fellowship, I knew how important sponsorship was. So it was kind of top of my list of priorities was to try and find a sponsor. For me, a sponsor is like, you know, the primary purpose of sponsorship is someone who's going to take you through the 12 steps. And as we all know, this is a 12-step fellowship. So really the role of the sponsor can't be overemphasized, because without a sponsor, you can't get into the kind of the core part of being a part of this fellowship, in my understanding anyway. So I knew that getting a sponsor was really important. And as well as kind of being someone to help me through the step work, I knew I also needed someone who was going to be a bit of a guide to me, because coming to this fellowship is more than just attending meetings and doing step work. So for me, core parts of my program are doing a food inventory that I share with my sponsor. Praying, meditating in the morning, you know, in a way that's, you know, my choice, a higher power of my choice, but it's important that I do that. I need to make phone calls to fellows, both people that are more experienced and people that are less experienced. You know, those that are more experienced to kind of gain understanding and go through my stuff, and those that are less experienced, I need to speak to be of service, carry the message, and be reminded of kind of where I came from and what brought me to the program. You know, getting service commitments is another part of kind of being active in recovery, and of course then doing the step work. So when I arrived in OA, I didn't know what was going on. I was really warmly welcomed, and there were lots of caring, loving people who seemed to have a solution. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what it meant to be a part of OA. So getting a sponsor quickly was really important for me, because that was the person who said, these are the things you need to do to stay abstinent, you know, from your compulsive overeating. And without that guide, I'd have just carried on with my own thinking, which would have left me, you know, stuck in my place of compulsive overeating. So that's kind of the almost like the technical part of sponsorship. And then the other big part for me is like the relationship. So my sponsor is really important relationship. It's not a friendship, but at times it's very caring. My sponsor's extended kind of real compassion, real sensitivity, you know, real comfort at times when I've been struggling. And the flip side, when I've been kind of wandering off course, my sponsor's been very direct and challenged me and kind of asked me how seriously I'm taking my recovery, or if I think I'm taking my recovery seriously enough. So I think, you know, for me, sponsorship is, it's like that core relationship in recovery. It's like my anchor to the program. It's the person that I trust. It's probably the closest relationship I have in my recovery is with that sponsor. So it's someone that I need to be very, very open with and very honest with, because put simply, if I don't give them all the information and let them in and let them see what's going on, all I'm doing is just like not really putting them in a position to help me. So my sponsor is best able to help me achieve the things I want to achieve in recovery. If I have a close relationship, if I'm consistent talking to them, if I'm honest, and of course, most importantly, if I follow suggestions. So there have been times where, both as a sponsee and also working with sponsees, that I've not followed all my suggestions, and I've also worked with people who don't follow suggestions. And ultimately, all a sponsor can do is offer up suggestions, and they're obviously coming from a good place and from experience and in alignment with the program when they do that. So it's always going to be the role of the sponsee to take on board those suggestions. And, you know, for me, when I was thinking about who I wanted to work with, you know, what kind of sponsor I wanted, it was really important that I found someone who had what I wanted. So, you know, recovery is fantastically simple in that we all come here, or at least I came here, and I didn't know what was going on. I just couldn't stop compulsively eating. I was really scared, really overwhelmed. I tried lots of different things, diets, ideas, philosophy, like so many different things. And I just couldn't stop this behavior that was kind of ravaging my life. So I needed to come here and accept that I didn't have the answers. And if I carried on using my best thinking, I was just going to carry on getting what I'd always had, which was misery and just being stuck in this rut. So recovery works on the basis of if you can find someone who has what you've got, you just simply need to do the things that they did to get that. So in looking for a sponsor, I wanted someone who was had some like good quality abstinence, who was actually the real deal, who was doing the things that they said they were doing, so wouldn't be telling me one thing and doing another thing themselves. And also for me, I think I just also needed someone that I was comfortable with, had a nice way about them, because it's a relationship that's going to develop in time. And if I don't feel comfortable at the offset with my sponsor, then as we get through into the step work, as we get through to perhaps step four, you know, moving through into step five and sharing some of probably the most sensitive stuff I've ever shared, I need to have that trust and that connection with that individual. Looking for someone who had what I wanted was very important. And for me personally, that also quite quickly it became clear that this individual not only had great recovery, but they'd built a great life for themselves. So the things that they've done in recovery, you know, their commitment to the program, all of the kind of work that they'd invested. And I always use that word, we invest in our recovery because we get a return on everything we invest in recovery. We get a return. And the idea of an investment is you get more out than what you put in. Because this individual had invested in their recovery, they'd built a really great life for themselves. And that's, you know, very much for me, I want to come here. And of course I want to become abstinent, but this program, the tools that we have here, is how I cope with life on life's terms, you know? So I used food, and at times prior to that, I was using drugs to help me cope with life on life's terms. I found it very difficult just to exist without something to use as like a comfort blanket to change the way I feel or the way I felt. So I need a program that will kind of give me support and give me comfort and give me what I used to get from drugs and from food. Because if I don't get that from my program, then I'm inevitably going to go back to using those things. And I think the reason, or my understanding, the reason sponsorship works, and I think it's like a big mental hurdle to overcome for a lot of people, is they feel like they're bothering their sponsor. They feel like they're a burden. You know, they're like, oh God, he's going to be sick of, or she's going to be sick of hearing from me. I don't want to call him or her. It's late. It's early. They've got kids. They're probably busy. You know, all of these ideas, which I think is like the disease, right? It's trying to separate us from the most important part of our recovery, arguably. But I think the whole reason sponsorship works is, you know, there's this notion that we keep what we have only by giving it away. So sponsorship is the ideal like kind of format of relationship to give away the experience that you have. So when I call my sponsor, you know, it may feel sometimes like, oh, I'm taking up his time, but the reality is I'm giving him an opportunity to be of service, and therefore I'm giving him an opportunity to stay absent another day, which is really invaluable. When my sponsor first told me that, I was like, I nodded along, like, yeah, sure thing. Like, you're just saying that. When I got sponsees, I was like, oh my God, it's actually true. I'm convinced they get more from working with my sponsees than they get from working with me, you know? And it's just such a lovely, like, life enriching thing to do. You know, both being a sponsee and working with sponsees, you know, when I think about all the things I do in my life, I've got a job, I've got a career that often feels like, oh, so important, and that's going to be the defining part of my life. But if I go to work and have like a really busy, productive, important day, I might do a 5-minute call with someone at the end of that day, a sponsee, and I make significantly more difference in that 5-minute call than I made in the whole day of hustling and being busy and doing whatever else. I think gratitude is like at the core of sponsorship, right? So the reason I take sponsorship seriously and I want to be a sponsor is,
one minute.
That's great, thanks. Of course, I want to stay abstinent, and that's kind of the engine room of recovery. We help someone, and in doing that, it kind of gives us a boost. We're spiritually nourished. You know, it helps us to stay abstinent. It's also driven by gratitude. You know, like the gifts of recovery and all of the fellowships, really. But you know, certainly in OA, the gifts of recovery are enormous. You know, I'll never forget what it was like to be absolutely consumed by my food addiction. You know, just there was like 90% of my life was taken up by just obsession and food addiction. There's 10% for everything else. So I never forget what that was like. And I would love to be a part of helping someone else kind of make that positive change, because I remember what it was like, and I know what a big difference being a member of this fellowship's been, or what bigger difference it's made in my life. So yeah, and finally, sorry, I'm not running out of time. I think the great thing with sponsorship is, if you're new, you can do a 30-day trial with a sponsor, and if it doesn't work, you can just try someone else. So it doesn't need to be this like big thing on a pedestal where it's like, great, thank you. You know, you can just ask, give it a try. If it doesn't work, try someone else. From my experience, everyone in recovery wants to help, so it's not a big deal asking. All right, I'll leave it there. Thanks.